of you are standing on the Lord's faithfulness? You're standing on His faithfulness. And how many of you know He's the same yesterday, today, and forever? Amen, amen. Let's thank that worship team, Michael and Christine and the band. And how you feeling today? You feeling good? And you lost an hour of sleep last night? How many of you that hurts just a little bit? Just a little bit. How many of you had coffee today? You had coffee today? How many had a little extra coffee today? You know, I don't understand that daylight savings time, but I'm just glad you all made it to church here today. I will tell you this, at 9 o'clock this morning, they were a little tired. But you are a little more awake here today, 11 o'clock. But thank you for coming to church, and thank you for worshiping the way you worship. I do want you to know that we have one church. We have many campuses, Agua Dulce. It's like a revival happening up there right now. Simi Valley just went to the third, have three services now. Woodland Hills has three services. We have a service here on Thursday night at 7 o'clock. Dusty preaches. It's all the same sermon. They're running about 700-800 here on Thursday nights. And we've been praying about starting a new campus somewhere in the East Valley. So we haven't made any decisions on that, but you can be in prayer. We want to start another campus over there. And also, I will be preaching, as you know, today and next week, Lord willing. Everybody say, Lord willing. Anytime you're talking about something in the future, always say, Lord willing. But then, after this week and next week, then it's the Passion Play and it's Easter. We're that close to the Passion Play and Easter. There's an insert in your bulletin. On one side, it's the Passion Play information. On the other, it's the Easter services. And I asked last service, how many of you have never seen the Passion Play here at Shepherd Church? You've never seen it. And I'm always amazed by all the people. It's just unbelievable. But we've been doing the Passion Play here for about 30 years. It's the largest, it's like a Broadway play where we depict the last week of Jesus' life. It is top shelf stuff. And last year, we actually recorded it for television. It took us about a week to film, and we actually were able to put it on nationwide television on the Great American Family Channel with Candace Cameron Bure. And so we're thankful for her, and she's agreed to let us put it on nationwide TV again this Easter. So we're excited about that. But the television version, we were able to do all these different camera angles and really capture the impact of it. And so that weekend, we're actually going to show you in church that week, we're going to show you what is going to be shown live around the entire world. And then we have Easter. That insert is for you to be aware of what's going on, but also to use as an invitation to invite other people to church. Amen? And then this Tuesday night, which is just in a couple days, we're hosting an event here at our church. It's called Ask a Jew, Ask a Christian. And this was put on by KKLA, which is a radio station, largest Christian radio station in the world, over here in Glendale. And I've hosted this a couple of times before. Did it once out at the Reagan Library with Dennis Prager and Robert Jeffries. I never said a word. I just sat there and these guys talked back and forth for an hour and a half. But this Tuesday night, it's Dennis Prager, who's on nationwide radio. And then the Christian is a man named Alan Jackson. I don't know if you've ever heard him preach, but he's become one of my favorite preachers to listen to. He is so insightful. He sounds like he's from the country. I know some of you think I sound like I'm from the country, but he really sounds like he's from the country. And he preaches in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. He started a little church there started in his parents' house. It was a Bible study. Today they run over 15,000 people. And he's on every weekday on KKLA at 1:30 in the afternoon. If you'd like to hear him, just tune in Monday to KKLA at 1:30. You can hear Alan Jackson. He's very insightful, and he has a lot to say about Israel and what's happening in Jerusalem right now, and just the biblical insight. And so we're going to ask these questions to get the Jews' perspective and then the Christian perspective. If you're looking for something to do, come join us on Tuesday night. We already have about 1,000 people signed up. You have to have a ticket. We don't have anything to do with that. All that is done through the website of KKLA. This is their event. They just asked us if we would host it. And so we've agreed to do that. So hopefully I'll see you here Tuesday night. Amen? Now, one more thing before I preach. This weekend is Oscar weekend. And I don't watch many movies because I don't have much time to watch movies. But I know many of you are movie buffs. And some people really care about what happens at the Oscars. But the last movie I saw in a movie theater was called Boys in the Boat. Anybody see that movie? It's a true story. And the reason I went to see it is because I read the book. And the book is about these boys up in Oregon that became rowers. This was all back in the early 1900s, the 1936 Olympics. It's a true story, historical. It's an unbelievable story. They did a movie. It was a great movie. Before that, I don't even know the last time I went to a movie theater. But in our church this weekend, we've taken time to pray for students. We pray for our school teachers. And we've done this before, the weekend of the Oscars. We pray for people in our church who work in the entertainment industry. And so that's what I want to do before I preach. Just want to say a prayer for those of you who are here that you work in Hollywood. And it's a tough job if being a Christian working in Hollywood. That's a tough job. And so I want to ask you to stand if you work in Hollywood, if you work in radio, if you work in television, if you work in the media, if you're an actor, if you're an actress, if you're a writer, if you're a grip, a cameraman, if you're here and you're a Brad Pitt look-alike, we want you to stand, all right? If you have anything to do with media, television, radio, Hollywood, the entertainment industry, I want you to stand and just remain standing because we want to pray for you. I'm going to take just a moment. God bless you. Let's give these folks a hand. Don't be bashful. Don't be bashful. God bless you, sir. And I just want you to reach your hand out. Just reach your hand out towards them, and let's say a prayer for these folks. God, thank you for today, and thank you for the time of worship. And we thank you that you are the same God. And when we pray to the God of Mary. We pray to the God of Jacob. We pray to the God of Moses. We pray to the God of Abraham. And you were a healer back then, God. We know that you're a healer today. You provided then, and you will provide today. Lord, you answered prayers back then, and you answer prayers today. And today, Father, just because of the world's attention on the Oscars, and it's the entertainment industry, and it's here in our own backyard. And that industry is so powerful as far as its influence goes across the world. And we know that, generally speaking, it leans way to the left. And they don't really follow the ways of God. And yet there are people involved that you've called to be involved in that industry, to be the salt and the light of the world. And when you called us to go into all the world and make disciples, you meant to go into all the world, including Hollywood. And Lord, we pray for every man and every woman who's standing right now. They have some connection to the entertainment industry, some connection to Hollywood. And I just pray as they're here today, as people who honor you and love you, I just pray for your blessing to be upon them. Help them to know that when they go into their place of employment, that there's a church that is praying for them. Because we know it's difficult to stand for Christ in the midst of that culture. But Lord, it's what you've called us to do. And so I pray that you would provide. I pray that you would bless. I pray, God, that you would open doors of opportunity for these who are standing. God, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for being with us through the good times and through the bad times. And we ask, God, that you would help us as we open up the Word of God to learn more about your will for us here in this life. Thank you for today. Your blessing upon those who are here, we ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's thank the Lord again for all these folks here today. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. We have an interesting text today. There's a lot in it. It's going to be a challenge to explain it where you can understand it, but we're going to give it our best try. Amen, amen, amen. This year, our theme as a church for the entire year, the theme is until Jesus comes, dot, dot, dot. And we spent the first 5 weeks of this year looking at the signs of the times. We looked at some 30 different signs that are all aligning that when you see these things happening, You know that we're not living just in the last days, we're living in the last of the last days. And two of those first 5 weeks, we studied in Matthew chapter 24. And today we find ourselves back in this exact same chapter. In the first half of Matthew 24, Jesus is talking and giving all these signs. And again, we've already looked at those signs, trying to convince you that it's soon. He's returning soon. But the second half of Matthew 24 that we really didn't study was after you see all the signs aligning, then Jesus says, you need to get ready. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, because he's about to return. I want you to turn to whoever you're sitting next to, tell them three times, get ready, get ready, get ready. Tell them three times. Get ready, get ready, get ready. So we spent those 5 weeks trying to convince you that the time is now. We're living in this day and age where it's about to happen. But this next series is called Until Then, ... Because if we're convinced that he's about to return, and we are, then what are the five things that we need to be doing for sure? And number one on that list in this series is make sure you're saved. I mean, if Jesus is about to return, you better make sure you're saved. Can someone say amen? And then Michael Johnson spoke, did a great job, that once you're saved, that your next job is to make sure other people have a chance to get saved. You don't want to just stand and stare. You want to get out and share your faith. And then last week, Pastor Jeff did a wonderful job preaching on the truth that while we're waiting, we should be imitating Jesus wherever we go. People should see Jesus in us. And today, the fourth thing of these five, I want to speak to you on the subject of being a steward for Jesus. Now, what does it mean to be a steward? What that means is right now that everything you have, your time, your talent, your treasure, your life, your family, your influence, your weekdays, your weekends, your food, your faith, everything you have, you have to realize that God in heaven was the one that gave those things to you. And he's placed those things in your hands. And while we're here waiting for Jesus to return, your task is to manage everything you have on behalf of God until he returns. So what I want to do, I want to read the text. We're just going to read the text. Just everybody say, read the text. Just going to read it to familiarize you with the text. And then we're going to go back through the text, and I'm going to give you three of the most important things that I read in that text that you need to remember. How many of you are with me? Because if not, we can go get you some more coffee. Okay, verse 42, we're just going to read the text. Therefore, everybody say therefore. Jesus says, keep watch. Everybody say keep watch. Because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch, there's that phrase, and would not have let his house be broken into. Verse 44, so you also must be ready because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Verse 45. Who then is the faithful and the wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? Verse 46, it will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. Verse 47, I tell you the truth, Jesus said, he will put him in charge of all of his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, my master is staying away a long, long time. And he then begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. Well, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and at an hour he's not aware of, and he will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, what are the three most important things that you read there? Number one, I want you to write this down. There is a difference between waiting and watching. There is a difference between sitting around and waiting for Jesus to return and watching for Jesus' return. We read in verse 42, therefore keep watch, Jesus said, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. I want you to know that there is a day that has already been selected, and that day has already been circled on God's divine calendar where he's going to send Jesus back. You just don't know what day that is. Now, we know we're living in the season, but we don't know the day. And the exhortation by Jesus himself is to keep watch because you don't know the day. Now, the idea of keeping watch is a military term. It comes from a soldier or a sentry who stands guard and watches for those who wish to intrude. And he watches so that he can sound an alert and give the alarm. So I want you to write this down. Waiting is a passive term. It basically means you do nothing. Watching involves an intentional activity. I want you to write down that word. It involves an intentional activity. So notice, after Jesus explains in the first half of Matthew 24 all these signs being aligned, he doesn't say, hey, I want you to wait for me. That's not what he said. He said, watch for me. Waiting is basically living your life status quo, no thought of God. You get up every day, you eat, you work, you sleep, get up the next day, rinse and repeat. Every day, get up, eat, work, sleep, with no thought of God. Watching means that you're actually intentionally, actively looking for Jesus to return. You're anticipating his return. You believe that he's going to return, and you believe he could return at any moment. Now, years ago, there was this Scottish fishing boat that returned to port after they had been out at sea fishing for almost a month. The wives back home never actually knew exactly when their husbands would return. On this particular day, the boat sailed back into the harbor after being out at sea. The skipper took the scope and he looked out on the pier as the boat was approaching. He saw several women standing on the pier. He says, as he looks, he says, Thomas, Thomas, I see your wife, Mary. She's there. She's there. He says, William, William, I see your wife, Mary. She's standing there on the pier. James, James, I see your sweet Annie. She's there on the pier. And he said, I even see my own wife, Elizabeth. She's there on the pier. However, there was one fisherman in that boat that was saddened because his wife wasn't there. He left the boat that day, stepped into the dock with a heavy heart. He leaves the port. He walks up the hill to the cottage from which he lives. He opens his front door. His wife runs to meet him. She throws his arms around him, and she says these words, I've been waiting for you. And he replied, yes, you've been waiting, but the other wives were watching. And it's a great analogy. Are you here today just waiting on the Lord to return? Or are you actively watching for the Lord's return? One of the key indicators that reveal the difference right now, this very moment, is this thought or this question. Are you currently, this moment, actively serving God with gladness? Like if Jesus were to return this very moment, he came back, would he find you right now at home in your pajamas just watching online? Or would he find you here in church with other believers actually serving the body of Christ? If he returned right now, would he find you just scrolling through social media all day, or would he find you reading your Bible? Would he find you with your hands down, or would he find you with your hands up? Would he find you with your hands in your pockets, or would he find you with your hands serving one another? Would he find you out partying like the rest of the world parties with no thought of God or no thought of Jesus ever returning? Or would he find you living a godly life, a holy life, a pure life as you're anticipating his return? Verse 43, Jesus said to keep watch, keep watch. Verse 44, he says, so that you must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. So keep watch. Keep watch is not looking up, just twiddling your thumbs, doing nothing. No, keep watch means that you're looking around, looking for someone to serve that doesn't know Jesus. You're looking for someone to serve who needs to find Jesus. You're looking for someone to serve on behalf of Jesus and ministering and teaching and encouraging and equipping everybody to get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, because it's about to happen. That's point number one. Point number two, write this down. When Jesus returns, you want him to find you being a faithful and wise steward. This is a very simple parable to understand. This is not rocket science. The whole parable is one verse, verse 45. It's very common back in those days, you know, people take trips all the time, and I just want to ask, how many of you have ever taken a trip, just a weekend? You just went to Vegas for the weekend. Raise your hand. Now, you know what I think about that, but go ahead and raise your hand. I've been there before. Come on, you've ever been to Vegas. Raise your hand. Come on, look, okay. How many have ever taken a weekend and you've gone down to San Diego, just went down there for a few days? You took a little trip down there, okay? How many ever up to Napa Valley, took a weekend, just went up to Napa? Come on, let me see all the Napa Valley people. Come on, San Francisco people. Okay, how about Hawaii? Anybody go to Hawaii? Oh, yeah. Well, it was common back in those days for a wealthy landowner to take a trip. The only problem and difference is they had to go by foot. If they were wealthy, they could ride on a donkey or a caravan by camel. They didn't have planes and trains and automobiles. They had to walk. They didn't even have Nikes. Now, I want to ask you a question. Be honest with me. How long would it take you to walk to Las Vegas? How long?
2 days.
Through the desert. With your family. Carrying your own water. With no map, no GPS. Honey, come on, we're going to Vegas. Okay, we're walking. Get the kids. No, you need more water. Honey, you need more water now. Get more water, more water, more water. How long would that take you to walk all the way there and all the way back? How long would that take you? Well, listen, they couldn't go in 3 days. It would take them months and maybe even a year to make that trip. But the wealthy, they could do it. And it was very common back in those days, whenever they took a trip, they would find one of their servants and they would put that servant in charge of the entire household while they were gone. The servant only had one job, and the one job was to do whatever it was the landowner had asked him to do. And the owner placed everything under the care of that servant, and the servant's job was to manage the household. The only problem is you never knew when the landowner was going to return. Thus the words of the parable in verse 45. Jesus said, who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them the food at the proper time? Verse 46, it would be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. I want you to notice whose household is it. It's the master's. Who owns the house? It's the master. Who owns the land? It's the who owns the food? Who went on vacation? The master. Who was it that put the servant in charge? It was the master. And again, this isn't difficult to understand. This world belongs to God. He created life. God created you. He created me. This is his planet. This is his water. It's his soil. It's his land. It's his food. It's his mountain. It's his river. It's his desert. It's his flower. It's his minerals. It's his money. And Jesus left, and he put you and I in charge until he comes back. And our job is to manage what he's given to us, and one day he will return, and when he returns, we will all have to give an account on how well of a job we did managing what he asked us to manage. Now, I had three kids. We raised three kids, my wife and I, and from time to time, we would leave, take a little trip, or maybe go on a date, and we had what's called a babysitter. What a great name, babysitter. How many of you have ever hired a babysitter? Yeah, that's the greatest thing ever. Give them the kids, you leave. Now, whenever I had a babysitter for my kids, and sometimes we might be gone for a week, maybe it might be a weekend, maybe just one day, maybe just on a couple hours. I only had two rules for the babysitter, and I sat him down every time. I said to him, I got two rules. Rule number one, when I come back, I don't want the house to burn down. Do whatever you do, don't let this house burn down. Rule number two, when I come back, I just want my kids to be alive. I don't care what you do with them. I don't care if you feed them or don't feed them. If you want to spank them, spank them. If you want to let them play up on the roof, let them play up on the roof. I don't care. All I care about is I don't want the house burned out. I just want them to be alive when I get back. Can you handle this? Those are two good rules. Now, you might have other rules for your babysitter, but those were the rules I gave my babysitter. I said, I really didn't care. I just wanted my kid to be alive when I got back. How many of you know what I'm talking about? That was their job. And in a sense, we're all babysitters, and that God has called us and placed certain things in our hands, and all he wants us to do is to take care of these things. Can you say amen? Now, your time, how much time do you have left on this earth? God gave you that time. How much talent do you have in you? God gave you that talent. How much treasure do you have, or you thank you? It's not yours, it's his. He gave it to you. You're the truth of God's word. He placed this book in our hands to manage. He gave you your family. He was the one who gave you your children. He was the one that gave you your job. He's the one that gave us this church. And when he returns, and he's coming back, it's gonna be soon. There's two things. One, he wants us to be faithful, and that means to be at your post. At your post. And I keep saying that I gotta preach, one day I'm gonna preach a whole sermon on just people who quit. So many people come to church and man, they're like, this is the greatest thing ever, until one little thing doesn't go their way and they quit and go somewhere else. They go to another church, and I guarantee you, if you don't like this church, you're not gonna like that church. Well, then you find something there you don't like that, so you go to another church. You don't like that, and eventually you just quit church altogether. Yep. Bunch of quitters. One little thing goes, you don't like, I don't like, I didn't like what he said there, I'm quitting. You know what happens almost every week in church? Somebody gets up and walks out because there's something they hear that they don't like, so they just leave. And I say to you, if you ever find a perfect church, don't you join it, because you'll ruin it. When the Lord comes back, you know what he wants? He wants you to be faithful. That means he wants you to be at your post, doing what he's called you to do there in the body of Christ. You can't quit when you get your feelings hurt or things don't go your way. God's the one who's called you to serve where you're serving. And the be wise, the wise part, the faithful and wise, the faithful servant is the one who's doing what he's supposed to do. The wise one who's doing what he's supposed to do with the thought that any moment Jesus Christ could come back. That's a wise steward. It's not very wise for you to be doing your job thinking, well, the Lord's never coming back because, oh, that'll mess everything up. A wise steward is the one who's at his post, but he's working in such a way that he realized that time is short. Lord could come back at any moment. I need to be faithful at my task. I heard this funny story about these two men. They were having a conversation with one another, and the one guy said to the other, he goes, because of my nearsightedness, I almost worked myself to death. And the other friend was confused. He said, I don't understand. What does being nearsighted have to do with working yourself to death? He said, well, I couldn't tell because of my eyesight. I can never tell whether or not my boss is watching me or not, so I have to work all the time. We should be working all the time on behalf of God because we don't know when he's coming back. Number three, write this down. Here's the third thing. Now, there's only three things you need to remember. Here's the third one. There are going to be different rewards for the faithful steward than the wicked steward. Don't think when we get to heaven and we're all getting the same thing. Some people aren't even going to get to go to heaven. Verse 46, Jesus said, it will be good. It's not just good. It's going to be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so. What doing so? Doing what? Being faithful and wise. The servant that's at the post, actively serving on behalf of God, managing what God has given you to manage, while all the while knowing that he could return at any moment, so you're watching for his return. The servant that does that, good for that person. You say, well, how good? Well, the next verse tells you how good. All of heaven will be yours. He said, this is Jesus. I tell you the truth. He will put him in charge of all his possessions. God has so many blessings for you if you're a faithful and wise steward. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive of what God has prepared for those who love him. It's in a very practical sense. This parable here in Matthew 24, it's just one verse. Verse 45 is the parable. In the very next chapter, you're in Matthew 24. The very next chapter, Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30, he tells a long version of the parable that he told in chapter 24, verse 45, the parable of the talents, where God, the master, the owner, gives one man five talents, another he gives two talents, another guy he gives one talent, and he leaves and he's gone, and he comes back. He comes to the guy who had five talents. He said, where's my five talents? And the man says, well, I had five. You gave me five. I made five more, so here's 10. And he gives them back to the owner. And the owner is pleased with that servant. He goes over to the servant that he gave two talents. And he said, what did you do with my two talents? He said, well, yeah, I made two more. I put them to work. Here's four. And, oh, the owner, he is pleased when he comes back from that trip. And the guy that he only gave one talent, he said, hey, what'd you do with my talent? He said, well, I didn't do anything with this. You gave it to me, but I did nothing with it. I was scared. I went out and I hid it. And I dug it. Here's that one little talent you gave me. I'm going to give it back to you. And, oh, the owner was not pleased with that. And there are many lessons in that story, but the main lesson is God expects a return on whatever it is he's placed in your hands. You say, well, I only have a little bit of time. God expects a return on that time. You say, I don't have much talent. God expects a return on whatever talent you have. Well, I only have a little bit of treasure. Well, God expects a return on that treasure, no matter how little you have. I want you to take just a moment and figure that out. God gives everyone in this room 168 hours every single week. Every week, God gives you 7 days. What does he want? He wants you to take the first day of those seven and put it aside and come to the house of God and worship. That's because it belongs to him. And your talent, you say, I don't know how much talent. I'm a one talent. I only got two talents. Maybe you have half a talent. Whatever talent you have, God expects you to set that talent aside and use it for His glory and for His honor. So I don't have much money. I only have a few dollars. Well, every dollar that God puts in your hand, the first part, first portion belongs to Him. And the point is this, if you're faithful and you're wise and you use it to the glory of God, you will be rewarded in this life and you will be rewarded in the life to come. You will be. That's why the Bible says in Luke 16:10, Jesus said, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever's dishonest with little will be dishonest with much. And some of the reasons why you're not blessed is because you're being dishonest with the little that God's given to you. And he can't trust you with a lot. You say, I just got a little bit of time, Pastor, dedicated to God. I only got a little bit of talent. Dedicate that to God. I only got a little bit of treasure. Dedicate that to God. I believe today, right now, you're looking at one of the most blessed people on the face of this entire planet. And it's not because I have goobers of talent and goobers of money and goobers of ability. No, I'm a simple guy. Grew up in Wichita, Kansas. Me and Toto. Watching The Wizard of Oz. I'm not good at too many things, but I do know this, that every single day of my life, I get up and I look at how much time I have, how much talent I have, how much treasure I have, and I just want to use it to bless the kingdom of God, and God has blessed me 1,000 times over because I live knowing every day He could come back. I know this to be true. So there's a reward for the faithful, but there's also a reward for the wicked. I want you to write this down, that all of God's wrath is going to be yours. This is not politically correct stuff, but these are Jesus's words. I don't know if you can see my Bible. Can you see my Bible? Can you see that? Those letters are all red. Let me show you. There's the black letters. You'll see the black? That's red. Can you see the difference? There's black. And what do red letters mean? That Jesus said these words. Don't sit out there and be mad at me. And what are the last four verses? Suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, my master is staying away a long time. And he begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards. I would tell you this, if you're out drinking and getting drunk, you're doing that with no thought that Jesus is about to return. You've decided to live your life as though he ain't ever coming back. I can go do what I want. Verse 50. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and at an hour that he's not aware of, and he will cut him into pieces and assign to him a place with the hypocrites where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is not a game. This is not make-believe. This is not AI. It's not a video game. There's a real place called heaven, and there's a real place called hell. And after Easter, we're going to have a series called The Afterlife, a glimpse of the afterlife. And we're going to look and see what the Bible has to say. And you're going to know that heaven, there's a place called heaven that is beyond your wildest imagination. But there's also a place called hell that is beyond your comprehension. I want to close this message with what's called a modern day parable. It's the same parable, but this is a modern day parable that Jesus might tell if he were here today. There's an elementary school, and the students of that school are lazy, out of control, and they're messy. And one day a superintendent walks in and he sees all the crumpled papers on the floor. He sees books scattered everywhere. He sees the pencil marks on the desk. And so the superintendent has an idea. And he stands before the class and he says, kids, today I want to make an announcement. I want you to clean your room. I want you to clean your desk. And one day I'm going to come back and I've got a crisp $100 bill. I'm going to give it to whoever has the cleanest desk when I come back. The catch is, none of you are going to know when I come back. I'm not even going to tell your teacher. I'm just coming back when I want to come back. Well, the students get all excited with the idea of making $100, so they clean their desk, they stack their books neatly, they get their papers organized, and every morning for at least a couple of weeks, that classroom is the neatest classroom in the entire school. And the students kept thinking, well, this might be the day that I get the $100. But before long, you know exactly what happened. Some of those students grew weary of the daily exercise of cleaning, so they stopped organizing their desk. And after about a month, some students started saying out loud, I don't think he's coming back. And some students said, I think he was trying to trick us. He offered us that $100, but that's just all a trick, trying to keep us to cleaning our desk. And before long, all the desks reverted back to their messiness, all the desks except one, of course. There was a girl named Susan who every day continued to keep her desk clean. And soon the other students, you know what happened? They started teasing her and mocking her. They said to her, you're a fool. He's not coming back. Some of them said, you're an idiot. That was all a trick. He's just trying to trick you. He's not coming back. Oh, Susan, she never argued, just kept smiling. She just kept her desk clean every morning and every afternoon. She just made sure everything was perfect there in her desk. And near the end of school, right before the end of the school year, the students were all shocked when there in the doorway stood the superintendent. He asked all the students to stand by their desk. As he walked up and down the aisles, there was a mad dash, all the students rushing, trying to put their books and papers back into their desk, but it was too late, he was there. And as he walked up and down the aisle of every desk, he rejected every desk for being messy, and soon the students blamed the teacher. They were mad at the teacher. They said, you should have reminded us, and others blamed the superintendent for making them wait so long. And finally, the superintendent, you know what happened? He arrived at Susan's desk, and he took out that crisp $100 bill. He called her to the front of the classroom, and he handed her that $100. And then he turned to the other students, and he said, boys and girls, Susan never stopped believing that I would return and give her a reward. And so she kept her desk clean every single day. And she never had to worry about the day or the time of my return because she was always ready. She was always ready. And what a great lesson for us today. I declare that one day Jesus is going to return, and he's going to return soon because all the signs are aligned. It could be today. It could be tonight. And your welfare on that day will be determined by the work that Jesus did upon the cross and your belief in his finished work. But make no mistake about it. He will be handing out rewards on that day. For the faithful and for the wicked, and ready or not, here he comes, here he comes. Let's all stand. Let's pray. How many of you glad you came to church today? Let's pray. God, thank you so much for today. Oh, it's so easy, God, to get wrapped up in the things of this world and not remember succinctly that you are about to return. Lord, help us to be at our post, to be faithful to that which you've called us to do, which is to manage everything you've placed in our hands on your behalf. That everything we have comes from you. We're not supposed to go through life just thinking about ourselves. We're to go through life taking everything you've given to us to serve others and to make a difference in the lives of others and to be wise knowing that you're about to return and that on that day you will reward those who've been faithful and those who are at their post. So I pray, Father, if there's anyone here today who's thinking about quitting, God, help them not to ever quit, just to get a job, get working at the church, stay faithful, stay at that post day in and day out. If there's anyone here today who's not saved, God, help them to come today and be baptized in your name. Help them to confess today that Jesus is Lord. And if we're saved, help us to find a way to help other people to find you. And then, Lord, help us to reflect you and to mimic you in our words and our deeds so that people might see you in us. And, Lord, help us just to be the steward that you've called us to be. And bring us back safely next week as we look at that fifth thing that we need to actively be engaged with. I pray your blessing on every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl who's here today, and bring us back safely next week. If you tarry, Lord, if you tarry, bring us back safely next week, we pray. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Thank you for coming to church today.